The Lord, everyone. It is so good to be here today. See all of our friends and those of you who are about to be friends. Amen. We just love you folks so much. Of course, we love and appreciate the Greeleys and the Dykes and all that they're doing. Amen. These are awesome people. And we're just so excited and so proud of them. And just so thrilled that there's an apostolic lighthouse in this part of Connecticut. And God's doing some great things here. Praise the Lord. And we're so excited. So the theme this week is, we got 12:30, is that right? Okay, so the theme this week is fight for your families. And Wednesday we talked about Nehemiah. And they ended up building the wall. They had a weapon in one hand and a tool, hammer or a trowel or something in the other hand. And we looked at some tools. We'll do more of that on Wednesday. Today we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 8 and then skip down to verse number 14. Amen. The spiritual battle that we're fighting. How many realize that there's a spiritual battle that we're fighting today? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at this. Chapter 8 of verse 6, of chapter 6, verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. Now let's skip to 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was the army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. No way out. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so he answered, do not fear. Everybody say, do not fear.
Do not fear.
For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen. And, of course, the servant didn't understand at that moment. So Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I believe those horses and chariots are around us today. He doesn't leave us when you walk out the door, but he's with you every single day. Let's lift our hands and praise him right now. Lord, we love you so much. We're so thankful for your goodness and your blessings and your love. I pray you touch us today. I pray that you'd help us today, oh God. Allow us, oh Lord, to feel your love and mercy, I pray. Hallelujah. Open up our understanding of the scriptures and help us, Lord, to lean on you. We love you today. We're thankful for you today. We praise you today, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Back in 1939, Colonel Mastalerz was one of the most prestigious military men in all of Europe. He was the head of the 18th Lancer Division of Poland's Cavalry Brigade. Their training in horsemanship was unsurpassed. Their determination and bravery on the battlefield had earned them international reputation as some of the fierce battalions in the world. But on the morning of September 1st of 1939, Colonel Mastalerz realized that his string of victories was coming to an end. For through the morning mist, amen, the 2nd and 20th motorized divisions of the Third Reich, the German army, crossed Poland border and changed the course of history. And this officer, this colonel, recognized that we are fighting a different battle. It's fought with tanks and armored vehicles. It's a battle in which my horses and my swordmen can never win. Too late, he realized that he had prepared his men for the wrong battle. And I'd like this morning for us to, I've been praying, my wife's been praying, that when we leave here today, we will recognize, amen, that there is a battle. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual battle, but we have the victor. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ. And when our children go to school, our young people go to school, and we go to work, regardless of what's going on throughout the week, hallelujah, no matter what the devil tries to throw against us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Would you clap your hands unto him right now and give him praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we read a scripture in 2 Kings 6 about a nation. It was to the northeast of Israel, who were repeatedly attacking Israel. It's the same thing today. The king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, was determined to defeat the nation of Israel. He was doing all that he can. But he had a problem, because every time he would send his troops across this part of the border, or I'll send them over there, or I'll take them over there, wherever he did, the Israeli army was ready for him. He's like, what is going on? We make this these plans in secret, in an enclosed room. It goes out, and yet they're ready. And so he calls all of his men together, his leaders together, and demands to know the identity of a traitor. We got a traitor among us. They're letting the enemy know. And the answer came back, it's not us. It's not us. It's the prophet Elisha. He's telling the Israeli king everything you do and say. Amen. He's got a connection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God's on their side and protecting them. And so Ben-Hadad says, okay, that's it. We're gonna wipe out that prophet. And so he commands the army to travel at night. And they go to the city of Dothan. And they go all around the army and all around the city. And when the Elisha and the servant and the inhabitants wake up in the morning, amen, they can't believe what they see. Here's an army ready to do battle. And the servant is especially troubled. And he says, you know, what are we going to do? Alas, look, did you see that? What are we going to do? And I love what Elisha says. Do not fear. Do not fear. Don't be afraid, hallelujah, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them, hallelujah. Don't be afraid, amen. You're sending your kids to school and you know the garbage that they face, but don't be afraid. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. Hallelujah, you have a tough time at work, or you're having problems in the neighborhood, or other family members, amen, are giving you a hard time. But don't be afraid, for those that are with us are greater than those that are with them. Amen, we've got the victor, we've got the overcomer, hallelujah. His name is Jesus, praise the Lord. He is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, hallelujah. And he wants to do battle for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the servant's still troubled and he doesn't know what to do. And so Elisha prays a prayer and he says, Lord, would you open his eyes, allowing him to see beyond the physical. The physical looks impossible, but let him see into that spiritual dimension. That's where the true battle's taking place. That's why I can have a peace that passeth understanding. That's why the joy of the Lord is my strength, because I see what they don't see. Hallelujah. I've got a connection, amen, with Jesus Christ. And immediately the Lord opens the young man's eyes. And what's he see? Yeah, he still sees the army of the Syrians, but he also saw horses and chariots of fire all around them. Hallelujah. I got an idea that the soldiers were a whole lot bigger than those soldiers, and the chariots, amen, were just flaming, and the horses and all that. And immediately a peace that passeth understanding fills the servant's heart. Hallelujah. What in the world was I worried about? What in the world was I fearful of? Hallelujah. Those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. Hallelujah. Oh, would you clap your hands? That's the God that we're serving today. But in order to win, you got to be fighting the right battle. Amen. You can't be preparing for something else. Hallelujah. Amen. So many people, and understand me, I have so much admiration today. Amen. My wife and I in July will be married 50 years. Amen. 50 years. Somebody came to our house a while back, and my wife has all of our graduation pictures, hers and mine and the kids' graduation. And they recognized Renee and Amber and Dathan, and they pretty much recognized my wife. Amen. But they didn't know who that guy was. And that guy, which was me, back when I got married, I was skinny and I had hair. And, I mean, it was just different. And he goes, "Who's that?" And I said, "That's my wife's first husband." I still am her first husband. You see? And so we have so much admiration for people that are trying to raise a family today. I'm concerned about grandkids today. Amen. The challenges. Who would have thought some of the things that are going on today, and it's a challenge. And I admire people that while they're working, they're going to school and getting degrees so they can better themselves, and they're working hard, and they're raising the kids and providing food and a good place to live and clothes and education. And their whole, we've known guys that have worked 2 full-time jobs to do that and save for the future. Amen. And that's good. Hallelujah. But if that's all you're doing, you're fighting the wrong battle. You need to do that. Hallelujah. But our prayer is, "Oh Lord, open their eyes. Let them see that there's a spiritual attack that's going on. Let them see that we've got a God that's able to deliver and help, and we can understand what's going on in the past." It's a spiritual battle that's attacking every pillar of society. Whether it's the political arena or the halls of academia or the corporate world or the sphere of public opinion, it's all being redefined and being overrun. Basic biology, male and female, common sense are being ignored, and the biblical precepts are being scorned. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a spiritual battle. Hallelujah. It's an attack on Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. Amen. And we cannot win it on our own talents and our own abilities and our own common sense or the latest podcast that you listen to or the book that you read. No, it's going to be won because we're going to enter into the spiritual realm and use the weapons that God gives us. Hallelujah. Notice 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not what we can do on our own. Amen. "But they're mighty in God." Hallelujah. "For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That's the weapons that we have. Hallelujah. That's the battle that we're fighting, and we can be victorious. Hallelujah. Every single day. Praise the Lord. The weapons God has given us cannot be utilized by our own abilities. To do so would be as foolish as trying to fight a tank with horsemen. Instead, the weapons are mighty in God. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Mighty in God. One more time. Mighty in God. That's why we come to church today. I love shaking everybody's hand and seeing the smile and worship you. But I also love, hallelujah, that we can come to church and leave changed and transformed. We're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. Why? Because we've entered into the realm of the Spirit and we've allowed God to do the changes. Hallelujah. And what He did for you, He can do for your family. He can do for your neighborhood. He can do it to your kids' school and on and on and on. Why? Because He is God. Oh, would you lift your hands again and praise Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's good water, dear. Amen. Have to ask her about it after church. Paul used the term warfare, and it refers to a strategic plan of action, a strategic plan of attack. Amen. The devil definitely has a strategy. He definitely has a plan, amen, to destroy us, and it's not the same for everybody. Because he knows what weaknesses are. He recognizes the strongholds that haven't been torn yet. Amen. He understands, amen, the arguments that we're wrestling in our mind. He's trying to take advantage of it. He's got a strategy. He's got a plan. Especially when it comes to our family. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talked about this in verse number 11. When he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah. He's going to try. Hallelujah. But I want him as frustrated as the king of Syria was frustrated. Amen. Who's the traitor? How is it every time I do something, they're ready? They know. Hallelujah. Amen. The God that Elisha served is the God that we serve today. Elisha called him Jehovah. We know him as Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is Lord of Lords. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to praise him again. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all glory and honor and praise and power and majesty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 he does have a strategy. Yes, 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 he does have a modus operandi. Hallelujah. But the next slide shows us that the devil is not the only one with a strategy. Hallelujah. Amen. God also has a strategy that is superior to any scheme of the devil. No matter how our adversary plans to attack and destroy your family, our Almighty God has a plan that will overcome the works of the devil every single time. Hallelujah. Anybody believe that today? Oh yes, every time. He's able. He's able. He's able. Rick Renner says it this way, our God-given weapons, and he's referring to prayer and fasting and amen. The Word, we consume the Word. I love this church is based on the Word, and you can't get enough of it. I love the Elements class. I love all the things you're doing here. The Zoom meeting on Sunday. Is it Zoom tonight, or is that your church? It's at your church. You're going to have food there? Snacks. Okay. I got all excited because we're having our family Thanksgiving next Saturday. And then we have Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. And then Saturday, dear, we can come back and have another Thanksgiving. We'll probably be all turkeyed out by then, but amen. That's exciting. That's really, really good, you see. But we've got prayer and fasting and consuming the Word and pleading the blood of Jesus, proclaiming the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And Renner says our God-given weapons are to be used in connection with the divine strategy. Lord, open our eyes. Let us see. Hallelujah. But don't look to the flesh to find that strategy. For the battle plan you need is not going to arise out of your own natural talent, your own mental exercises, or your own human effort. Amen. Folks, we've got to seek the Lord each and every single day. In order for our marriages to be strong and our children to grow up pure and holy before the Lord. Hallelujah. It can work. It does work. It can happen. Hallelujah. And just as Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes may be open in order to see the spiritual dimension, so we must pray, hallelujah, that God will open our understanding of the pressures and the dangers that our families are facing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I hope somebody's catching this today. Hallelujah. There is victory. There is hope. Hallelujah. It's not impossible. Praise the Lord. You don't need to live in fear. Hallelujah. Because we're serving Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul was praying a specific prayer for the saints. He wasn't praying for those out in the world. He's praying for the saints in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15. This is what he says. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I heard of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, what are you praying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. And notice verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that suddenly you will see beyond the physical and you will understand there's a host of heavenly hosts that's around us today. Amen. Being enlightened, you may know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Hallelujah. And you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Somebody said one time, how are you doing? And they said, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get out from under that and claim the promises of God. God is victorious. God has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he's got exceeding greatness of his power to work on your behalf. How many believe that God has a calling for you and your family? How many believe God has riches available for you and your spouse and each of your children and grandchildren? How many believe that every one of us can have access to the exceeding greatness of his power and that it's extended every single day? Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All that rise up against you shall fall. You don't need to fear what the enemy brings you. Why? You're a child of God. You've been buried in the name. You've been washed by the blood. You've been filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, let's thank him right now. Let's praise him right now. Let's glorify him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And yet all too often, Christians choose to ignore all this. Oh, well, they'll shout in church. They'll get all excited, clap their hands, and I'm not looking at anybody when I say that here. I'm thinking of the 32 years in Bristol, okay? I'm thinking of the church we pastored in Pennsylvania before. Amen. But they leave church and they face the same things and try to handle it the same way any day. Hear me this morning, you're making a big mistake. If you think that the battle is someone out there and doesn't affect me and my family, the devil's got his eyes on every one of us today. He can't stand it, hallelujah, when your family loves God, hallelujah. He can't stand it. That you don't even have to say a word, hallelujah, and people are looking. Brother and Sister Greeley's son, Nathan and Amy Greeley, got four kids, and Caleb's in Little League, and so they go and support him. And one day a family, amen, that at one time wasn't going to church at all, but they came up to them and said, we want our boys to hang around your kids. Because we like what's going on there. We don't know what's everything going on. And they've had meals together. They've had a Bible study. They started going to another church in town. And Nathan and Amy continued to work with them. And finally one day the lady called Amy and said, listen, the pastor asked me to teach a video series. And every Thursday we've got 30 or 40 ladies that have agreed to go. Well, what's it on? It's on the book of Acts. And she says, I can't think of anybody else that I need you. So can we talk on Monday? And then I'll teach what you tell me. And it's been going on. It's been going on. Hallelujah. Why? Because God said, I'm going to take a family. Hallelujah. It's not because they're good looking or they have a lot of money, though they are good looking. It's not because of their personality, but it's because they're dedicated to me. It's because they love me. It's because I've opened their eyes and they're allowed to see into the supernatural of what God is doing. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's what God wants to do. God wants to turn this place upside down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Each and every single day. Hallelujah. But the truth is, the battle is in the home. It starts in the home. Oh, it's getting a little more quiet now. As parents and grandparents, we've got to be active and deliberate every day. Dropping off your kids, I think I said this Wednesday, but dropping off your kids for Sunday services or church events, not going to cut it. Expecting the Sunday school teachers or the youth leaders to teach your children the truths of God's Word, it's not enough. This battle will not be won by just filling out a checklist of religious activities. Attending church, check. I'm involved in some ministry, check. I'm giving time and finances, check. And while every one of these activities is necessary and worthwhile, there's a greater component. Hallelujah. There's a greater component. As parents and grandparents, we must rise to the challenge and add our voice to the call of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We must accept our responsibilities as a Christian parent, as an apostolic spouse, and claim victory in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb each and every single day. Hallelujah. Your family can become a household of faith. Your family can proclaim the praises of God to the whole world. Hallelujah. Oh, you young people, don't think I can wait until after I get out of school and then I'll serve the Lord. No, the Lord wants to fill you. He wants you to be an overcomer right now. He wants to use you. Hallelujah. It can happen. Everybody say it. Can't happen. So we need to use the weapons that He's given us. And the last 25 minutes we have, I want to look at another dimension. Amen. Buckle up. You got any seatbelts? Buckle up here. Amen. It's overcoming the attacks of the enemy and creating a home that's a safe haven. It's found in 1 Timothy 4. Verse number 12. Let no one despise your youth. He's talking to Timothy, a young man, a preacher. But I believe he's talking to all of us. We have a tendency, oh, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I don't know enough about this. Don't let anyone despise you. But be an example. Be an example to the believers. Now, that's interesting because he doesn't say be an example to the world because the world has no idea. But he wants you to be an example to the believers, people that know what the book says. Okay, that's who I want to be an example to. I'm going to flesh out. I'm going to live out, amen, the principles of God's Word each and every single day. Let no one despise you. Be an example to the believers. How? In word, in conduct, in love. And spirit and faith and purity. What's he saying? You're an example to all believers, but especially to your spouse and your children. You can't just tell them. You got to show them every single day. You got to be an example 24/7. You must be consistent and persistent. And he talks about a couple areas. Let's look at the first one. In our word, okay? Be an example in word. Amen. What you say. Solomon, in his book of Proverbs, speaks of the power of the tongue. And our words can destroy or build up. Proverbs 18:21. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What's he talking about? Amen. Kind words are like honey. Amen. Power of the tongue. those who love it, those who recognize that. Instead of me knocking or cutting down or losing my temper, I'm going to teach, I'm going to train, but I'm going to do it in controlled language. I'm going to do it so I edify and build up. Hallelujah. Parents and grandparents, we all must pay attention to how we speak to our children. Nobody's words are as important as parents' words to their kids. Amen. An evangelist once went to a prison, federal institution, and he was allowed to have a service, and he was amazed at how many guys came, and they had singing and worship, and then he started to preach, and he suddenly stopped. He was talking about a father, and he stopped, and he said, how many of you know who your father is? Most of the people didn't even raise their hand. How many of you feel like your dad turned against you, and on and on and on? And he was shocked at the result. Well, after the service, there was a whole line of people that came up, gathered around him, and they said, Reverend, one said, I'm here because I didn't disappoint my dad. I said, what are you talking about? He said, ever since I was a kid, all he's told me is, you're no good. You're going to end up in jail someday. You're going to spend the rest of your life. And he said, I didn't disappoint my dad. Kind words are used to encourage, brings healing to the mind and the emotions. And in Proverbs 16:24, it talks about kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Hallelujah. We got to pay attention. Our words will determine whether our home is a place of safety or security, or just another battleground that the kids have to face. Hallelujah. Hurting people hurt other people. But when God begins the healing process in our lives, then we're able to treat others right and deal with them according to love and patience. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, but I faced this my whole life. That's who I am. That's who you were. Amen. But you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He can put a new heart within you. Hallelujah. Well, how does that happen? Well, you get His Spirit within you. Amen. But then you flood your heart and mind with the living Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I used to take cards and I'd have scriptures before cell phones and all this other. But I'd write out scriptures and have them in my pocket. And if I'm stuck in traffic somewhere, instead of getting upset about some jerk that's cutting somebody off or blowing their horn, I'd just take the scriptures out and I'd just memorize scripture. And I forgot all about what was going on there. Hallelujah. What was I doing? I was hiding the Word of God in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. We read this book and we teach it to our children. It shapes our thinking. It guards our tongue. It guides our decisions. Hallelujah. Oh, everybody say, I must be an example of what I say. Hallelujah. There's times when if you're not careful, you'll fall back. We do real, really good until we get upset and then we fall back to what we're used to. Hallelujah. But we got a God again who's able to transform us and help us. And if every day we go to Him and say, Lord, it's another day. Hallelujah. And I really don't want to get out of bed, but Lord, I know I have to. So Lord, I need You. Hallelujah. Lord, help me today. Amen. Mold me, shape me. Hallelujah. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto You today. Hallelujah. And when we do that, hallelujah, we can be the example that our families and other believers need. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I must be an example in what I say. Next slide tells us what Paul said. We also, I'm sorry, I hope you can look at this, read it. There's tools that He gives us that He talks about conduct. We need to be an example in conduct. And that's the way we live. And so this acronym TOOLS, the first one is T, which is talk to God. Point your bony finger at somebody and say, talk to God. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Matthew 18, it's up there again. Truly, I will tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So we talk to God. We unite with other people. Hallelujah. Why is that important in the home? Because children do what children see. It's vital that your children see and hear you. Pray in the home. Pray at church. Worship God together in church. Hallelujah. Dads and moms, if you want your children to take God seriously, you must take God seriously. You must take God seriously. I'm so thankful for the home that I was raised in. Every morning, I could count on it. I'd get up, and I tried to get up before he went to work so that I could see him, but I knew what his pattern was. He'd be sitting at the table. He's already prayed. He's sitting at the table, and there's a bowl of cornflakes, and there's some orange juice. There's a cup of coffee. There is some toast with butter, real butter, and some jelly on it. Over on the side, there's a Hartford Courant, and he'll glance through that. He wants to see if the Red Sox won a game or not. They weren't winning much at all back then. But front and center would be the Bible. And when he'd be eating his breakfast, he'd be reading the Bible. And as a boy, I knew that his favorite book was James. And I knew his favorite scriptures. And so it made an impact on me. And over the years, things changed. He no longer could eat cornflakes because they had too much salt in it. And he couldn't have real butter with his toast. But he had to have, I can't believe it's not butter. And it might taste similar, but to my dad, it didn't taste similar. He couldn't have coffee anymore. He had decaf coffee. Oh, that was a change he didn't know he could have. And then the Red Sox started winning. That was a major change. But the consistency was, the Bible was still right there. And he was still praying. Every night, every morning, he'd get up and pray and do that. Every night. Amen. My mom's in the living room after everybody's asleep and she's praying. Hallelujah. Talking to God. Hallelujah. The first O in the tools is we got to obey the truth. Everybody say obey the truth. Amen. I love Galatians 5:25, and I love what it says in the New Living. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, amen, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's a mistake when we pick and choose what we're going to believe. My wife and I went to Thomas Jefferson's home in Virginia, and he didn't believe a whole lot of the Bible, but there were some that he did. And for whatever reason, he took scissors and cut out all the things he didn't believe. And the word was pretty thin by the time he got done, and it didn't help him at all. He was a statesman. He did so much for our nation. Amen. But we can't afford to do that. We got to obey the truth. Hallelujah. We can't pick and choose. We've got to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Hallelujah. Moms and dads, grandma and grandpa, don't believe the lie. Amen. Individuals, young people, whoever you are, don't believe the lie that what I do will not affect anyone else. That's a lie from the pits of hell. He'll convince you I can get away with it. Nobody will know. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't believe that. Hallelujah. Amen. Our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors, other believers are watching and they're listening. And we have to echo. We have to live the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Maybe you're not to the place where you have that direct connection yet. Just follow me. Hallelujah. I'm following him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what God, that's why we're here. We're together. We're all in one mind and one accord. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because we're helping each other. I can't wait till we get to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. We won't be some in Bristol and some in Montville and some of the, we're all going to be together gathered around the throne. Going to be an awesome day, and we've done it because we've done it together. Second O is overcome evil. Oh, that's the pastor's job. No, it's not. Now, he's a man of God. These two guys in the front row are men of God. Their wives are women of God. And they will help, praise the Lord. But you can do the battle. You can fight. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. We're going to look at just one way the devil, with evil tactics, tries to destroy. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I love what Bill and Pam Farrell said in one of their books. One of Satan's greatest tools against the Christian home is creating conflict. He wants you to misunderstand each other's words, to misinterpret each other's actions. Your love for each other may be intact and healthy, amen, but he wants you to live in a house of mirrors, amen. Don't you love those mirrors that you're overweight and you'll go to the mirror and it makes you look thin? I love those mirrors, amen, but he don't have that kind of mirror. He's going to twist the truth. He's going to get you to distrust each other. Your perception can be distorted. That's how Satan works. The best way to handle these distortions is to grab hands and pray out loud. Pray the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray the word. Praise the Lord. And don't just pray for the individual that's causing you trouble. Amen. I can show you after church, but recently we were concerned about some stuff that was going on, and we started to pray and fast. And every day I still do it, but I pray David's prayer of repentance. Amen. And then I pray Daniel's prayer of repentance. He's seeking for an answer, and he's praying the prayer of repentance. And then I went to Luke chapter 4, and I say, Lord, when you opened the book of Isaiah in the synagogue, and you said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are, oh God, there's some in my family that fit this. Lord, you came back then, but I believe you can do it right now. Pray the word. Pray the word. Pray the word. Hallelujah. And then as we read 2 Corinthians 10, I pray it. Lord, pull down strongholds. Cast down arguments. And then finally, Lord, I want to be strong. I want my family. I want my church. This is Ephesians 6, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Hallelujah. Help each one of us to put on, amen, the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. What are we doing when we do that? Hallelujah. Amen. We're overcoming evil. We can't do it on our own. But thus saith the Lord, works every single time. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, how did he refute him? It is written. It is written. Oh, we need to consume that. And that leads us to the L, and that's we need to look in the Bible. Amen. It's so easy to, I'm too busy. If I got a problem, I'll talk. Pastor, can I talk to you? What's the problem? And I, after a while, I would say, have you prayed about it? Have you found a scripture that might help? Well, that's why I'm here. I want to talk to you. No, look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. Deuteronomy 6, he told the families, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. It's more than just up here. It's down here. Amen. You teach them diligently, hallelujah, to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, amen, when you lie down, when you rise up. What's he saying? He's saying all the time, whenever there's an opportunity, amen, look in the Bible, refer to the Bible, amen, let the Word of God become alive, hallelujah. Oh, sure, you talk about other things, you have hobbies, you do all that, but the bottom line is every single day, not just in church, but every single day, amen, we're going to lift up our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. And then you can look at that, the fingers, hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. It It's the word that we're getting in our life. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I must be an example in the way I live. The way that I live. He goes on. We're running out of time, but he goes on talking about love. Love, agape love. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, what does that look like? Well, let me read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. Love. This is love. This is the love that God wants you to have. Okay? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. And I love this verse. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures every circumstance. Be an example in love. Be an example in our faith. Hallelujah. If somebody wanted to be baptized, is that filled today? That baptismal tank? Okay. And there's an awesome baptismal tank that's going to be brought up here shortly. Amen. If you can't do it today, I'd like to have a bunch of you say, I'm going to be the first one to be baptized in the new tank. Hallelujah. That'd be awesome. Or I'm going to be the last person baptized in this one. Amen. Hallelujah. An example of my faith. Hallelujah. Now, why? And then do it not just for you, but your kids. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9 years old. I was 13. I found that we were in East Litchfield, Connecticut. I was right there between where these two were. I was 13 years old, and I just felt the presence of God, and he changed my life. I'll never forget. I was 15 when he called me into the ministry. Amen. I wasn't sure for a while, but okay. And I began to do that. But I remember during those formative years, there were many times when I would, my brother and I shared the same room, and he'd go to sleep, and I would be sleeping, and I'd wake up, and I had a flashlight, and I would put the covers over my head and turn on the flashlight and start reading the Word of God. Why? Because I needed it. It's vital. Let me quickly, as our musicians are coming, amen. The Apostle John, we don't have time to go into it, but he's 80-something years old when God tells him to write. I want you to write the book of the Gospel of John. I want you to write the three epistles. I want you to write Revelation. Well, why? What's going on? Well, there's a pattern that's developed. And you're the last of the apostles. And he said, he begins to show them that it happens in every family, but it also happens in the church. First, the apostles, they were on fire for God. They had convictions in their heart and in their mind. It was awesome. Amen. But the second generation, it was no longer a conviction, but it was a belief. I grew up in the church. I believe. Problem is, there are a lot of other beliefs, and they started allowing some false teachers to come in that taught it a little bit different. How do you overcome that? That second generation needs to get a relationship with God and have that conviction burn in their heart. Because if you allow that just to go on by the third generation, it's not a conviction. It's not a belief. It's an opinion. And that's dangerous ground. The devil's got you. Because everybody's got an opinion. And by the fourth generation, nothing. But it's key that every generation has a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If it means I'm going to spend more time on my knees in prayer, if it means I need to fast more, that's okay. I'll do it because I want my kids and my grandkids. And if the Lord tarries great-grandkids, I've already told my grandsons, I'm praying for your wife. Well, who is she? I don't know yet, but I'm praying for her. Amen. We're praying that God will do something. Why? Hallelujah. because I want convictions burning in every generation. Hallelujah. Because God, you can't go back and start again. But you can start from now, make a brand new end. Don't fight the wrong battle. Amen. God will help you with the finances and help you with all this other stuff if you seek Him first. If you seek Him first. Let's stand to our feet and let's lift our hands. And let's ask the Lord to touch us right now. Oh, we worship You, Jesus.